Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Chris Gibson, my first question, immigration.
Yes.
That's the question.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, clearly the system is not working. I don't receive any pushback on that as I move all about the 19th Congressional District. We've got, you know, clearly there are issues on multiple levels. Fundamentally, we don't even have our policy right. How can it be that we have 11 million people here undocumented? It's because, in large measure, we don't account for the labor market, the demand for labor, and it's not reflected in our policy. So, you know, what needs to be done? There are many things that need to be done. The first of which is just recognize that the current policy is not working. And then you look at the process to implement the policy, and it's not working either. It's taken 9 years to naturalize folks that are desiring to be citizens. We can't long stand that. We've got to do better on that. Then when you look at the implementation of the policy, we've got issues there as well. Often the border security is brought up. Yes, that's an issue, and that needs to be addressed. But it goes beyond that. Half the people who are here illegally now came here legally. They actually came here on a visa, overstayed their visa. We're not able to track it. So, you know, when we talk about how to reform this process, which everyone agrees that we need to, we need to start with the ability of recognizing we have a problem, changing the policy that relates to the numbers, changing the policy, which the way we enforce it. So that means, yes, efficacy at the borders, but it also means a way to track visas. And we should also be, recognizing the challenge with having the federal government be the only one to do it. We have the concept of federalism, and you look at the way we defend ourselves. We have a standing military, but we also have a National Guard. You look at the way we police ourselves, and we have a state police, but we also have county sheriff departments. So, you know, I think we have to recognize that. I think part of the reason why the Senate bill scored so poorly from the Congressional Budget Office as it relates to efficacy is because of that, because I think that was a large measure of it, the way that it was going to be enforced. But I think, you know, there was also probably too many waivers in there that the CBO scored. And so on page 5 of that report, the CBO assesses that the Senate bill is only going to reduce illegal immigration by a third, possibly as much as a half. So it's not a solution. But the teamwork that went on the Senate is something I think to build on. The fact that they were able to bring folks together, get them at the table, and get them to
continue. Republicans and Democrats sit down together.
Absolutely Republican Democrats, but also business and labor.
Yep.
I think that that can't be overstated, how important that is, that teamwork stayed in place. So I think that there's something to build on there. And the concept, I think that bringing forward the concept of federalism, I think will change the score. And why that score matters is everybody has an opinion, right? I mean, elected officials have opinions, outside groups have opinions, but we go to the Congressional Budget Office to give us this independent analysis. And right now, the analysis from the CBO and the Senate bill is that it doesn't solve the problem. So, but how do we then solve the problem without losing all the good that was done on the Senate side? And the thing I particularly want to highlight is the teamwork that was done. So that's why I argue that we should look to take this this teamwork and then find ways to improve the concept so that we can get a better readout from the independent analysis of the CBO. Now, once you get a system that your policy has changed so that it reflects supply and demand in the labor market, that you have a process to naturalize faster, that you have a border security that you have confidence in, that you have a visa tracking system you have confidence in, and that you believe that will ultimately get us in the 90-95 percentile of efficacy, then you have to deal with those that are here undocumented now. And I think that that has to be part of all of this to be able to get the holistic solution that we're looking for. And certainly there has to be consequences. And, you know, my views on these, I think, are consistent with mainstream views in terms of a plead coming forward, a plead, a payment of back taxes, a background check to make sure that individuals are not involved in nefarious activities, and then getting to the back of the line. So, you know, I think that this can be done. I think it has to be done right. I mean, part of the challenge we're dealing with is the fact that there's a skeptical America for a variety of reasons, but also relating to this issue, the 1986 law, which was meant to be the law to bring the final, basically to get us to a situation where we didn't have to worry about this anymore. But in fact, that wasn't the case. And so now you have a good number of Americans who are skeptical as to whether or not this reform that we're contemplating will actually resolve the problem. I would say that if we stay focused in on efficacy and then we solve this, if we bring forward policies that solve this, I think we can have an America where we continue to be a land, a nation of immigrants and a nation of laws.
Chris Gibson, the election results the last time, the presidential election, where Obama does very well among Hispanics and the Republicans don't, got a lot of Republicans scratching their heads and saying we got to change this in terms of public perception, that we're not the guys who are trying to get them kicked out of the country and give them such a hard time. What happens then? In other words, have the Republicans reassembled? Have they talked to each other?
Well, you know, I guess we're having this conversation again. It was related to the last segment we had. I think if we put our service first, I think we're in the best stead here. Now, part of service includes reforming this broken process. And I do think that that will help build faith across party lines and across ethnic lines, including Hispanic voters. But I also think there were other challenges for Mr. Romney. You certainly have partisans on both ends of the spectrum. Most Americans aren't that partisan. They really are pretty thoughtful and pragmatic.
Sure.
And they have two basic questions. Do I like you and are you like me? And at the end of the day, I don't think that Mr. Romney fared well on those questions. And I think that that largely explained the results.
Okay, so that gives me 2 minutes for a fast political question. It seems to me Chris Christie of New Jersey is a very pragmatic person of the kind you just described. And if I were telling the Republican Party who to put up so that they might win, it would be Chris Christie. If I were telling the Democrats who you're going to run, it's going to be Hillary Clinton. Assuming that election, that could be a very close election, but can the Republican Party bring itself together to nominate a Chris Christie?
I think he will be, if he decides to run, I think he'll be a strong candidate. I think he's got a record in New Jersey, one that brings people together, that is thoughtful, that solves problems. Look, he's got some other challenges. Part of the way is, on the one hand, his bluntness people appreciate. On the other hand, you're not always sure what's going to come out of his mouth in the next moment. So there's a lot that's unknown as we move forward, but I certainly wouldn't discount Chris Christie.
But those primaries tend to be populated by conservative voters. How do you get around that?
You know what? People say that. And certainly there's some empirics to back that up, but never underestimate the possibility of reform. And look, there are many Republicans out there who generally do not vote in primaries, but under certain circumstances could very well come out to vote. Not to mention, there could be independents when they see what's at stake, could very well register Republican to make sure that there is somebody thoughtful, somebody who can unite people that could survive a primary season. So I'm not one to discount the possibility of a pragmatist being nominated in the Republican Party. And I think those that move so quickly to discount that, I don't know that they fully recognize the fact that that people have choices and free will, and that you could very well see non-traditional primary voters actually come out and vote in primary.
And of course, the Republicans want to win. And, why nominate somebody who can't?
Well, I think it stands to reason on all sides that you want to have a candidate that comes forward that's going to carry on Election Day.
Chris Gibson, thanks for showing up. We really love it when you're here with us. And when we come back, we'll talk about something else.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan.